Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand. 'Cause I got him for you. Oh, I wanna run with you. Yesterday I saw you standing there.
Like sands through the black water, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
We do have a completely signed contract for the purchase of approximately 260 acres. You bring up the slide, Ashley. Of additional land for spray fields for our effluent removal system. This property is directly north of our 80-acre parcel. It is 260 acres of a 320-acre parcel. We are buying everything but the delineated wetlands that are to the west, as you see there in green. The purchase of this property is at a price of $1.79 million or $6,900 per acre. This is consistent with the other purchases that we've done.
Okay, this is, if it doesn't sound like high drama, and you're wondering where the drama comes from, you're right, okay? You're smart. This is actually a little bit of false advertising by me, because we do have high drama in Milton to report to you. But the drama moments will be next hour and at 7 o'clock, okay? We have parts 2 and 3. And I'm starting because I like to go in, you know, chronological order. And this is chronological order from the meeting. Not the most recent meeting, but the meeting just a couple weeks ago. I'm so far behind on some stuff. It's crazy. And this is one example of it. But in any case, this is, and I hold on. This is legitimately really just good news for the city of Milton. I know, John.
Well, wait a second. I'm like,
I know.
What?
No, what do I always say? I always say that the you know, there's a few people in the audience and there's a few people on the city council that cause all the drama, but the city itself actually runs quite well and the employees of the city are fantastic. And, of course, Milton itself is a fantastic city to live. But then, you know, you have just, like I said, a few, you know, let's just call them apples, okay? without any adjectives. You have a few apples who make for great radio. And, you know, but otherwise, I mean, there's actually a lot of good stuff that happens in Milton. And this is an example of a long drama over the location of the wastewater treatment plant. I mean, Days of Our Milton does predate the Pitchfork Posse and their effort to relocate the wastewater treatment plant, but not by much. they have been the stars of the show for a long time. I mean, it does go back about a year before them, but still. This drama over the location of the wastewater treatment plant and can you build it on a hill and is it going to slide down and ruin everybody's life and kill the sturgeon and destroy the Blackwater River and all the stuff that was all nonsense. But remember, they killed the project. They had it completely funded. You know, what, God, $50 million, $60 million in that vicinity? I'm sorry, I can't remember the exact amount. And then now, all of a sudden, we are back to where we might actually have a solution for not yet the wastewater treatment plant, but at least enough spray field space that we can get the treated effluent that is currently being discharged into the Blackwater River out of the Blackwater River. That, I mean, that's where we're at.
The 116 acres, the 80 acres are in permitting currently for a new wastewater treatment plant and a spray field. We would add the 260 acres to BDI, and they are prepared to move forward with geotechnical, cultural assessments, and everything required to determine the functionability of this property to serve as a spray field.
Yeah, so they've got a bunch of land that they're permitting for the wastewater treatment plant, but this is not that story. This story is really about the land that's available for the spray field. Because if you've been hanging out with us for a long time, you know this already. If you don't know this, I want to explain it. Because I always want to make sure that everybody who doesn't know is able to understand what's going on in the show. When you take sewage, okay, that's you flush your toilet, sewage goes to a plant somewhere. It goes through a series of pipes, and then they go through lift stations, which is what a lift station is, just a fancy way of saying pump. So it just continues to pump it all the way to this treatment location, the wastewater treatment plant, the WWTP, that has nothing to do with, the McMahons or John Cena or anything else. It's just a different acronym. So at the WWTP, they treat it. They process it. And what they produce is a thing called treated effluent, which is water. Probably, it's not rated to drink, but some people do drink it as a demonstration that it's actually very, very clean, but it's not rated to drink. It's not potable water. It's just treated effluent. Well, then you got to get rid of that treated effluent somewhere. Okay, and so you need to either, what we do right now in Milton is you put it into the Blackwater River because it's clean enough to put into a river. Well, there's a bunch of reasons why they have to change that, and it doesn't have anything to do with the quality of that water. It really has everything to do with the salt going north in the water body, and it's common to dispose of treated effluent into riverways. It's no big deal, but the model now is to put it into land, basically. And, well, if you're going to put it on the land, you either put it into some big pond that's going to sit there and evaporate or whatever, or it's going to percolate down, or you spray it on the grass like they do in Gulf Breeze. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can get rid of it. But you need land to dispose of the treated effluent. And then the way you're disposing of it will tell you if you need other land because you've got to have a place to store it in case there's a rain and you can't. Okay. You need land. And they haven't had the land because the effluent that's currently going into the Blackwater River, they've got to get out of the Blackwater River. Theoretically, by the end of this year, if I remember correctly, I don't know if that's not going to happen. But there's a lot of backstory here. So anyway, now they actually have the land, and they can actually get the water out of the Blackwater River.
The 116 acres is estimated and requested to be permitted at 0.9 million gallons per day, so roughly 1 million gallons per day. If we extrapolate for 100 or 260 acres, that means we're somewhere between 2.7 million and 3 million gallons per day, which is 100% of the effluent out of the Blackwater River.
There you go. That's the solution.
If we extrapolate the current cost estimate to build the effluent disposal system on the 116 acres and increase it plus 160 acres, it currently is $24 million. And that would increase it to approximately $32.7 million. We have recently been awarded an $8 million grant from the local Restore Council for this project. We are currently seeking additional funds to pay for that, and we have enough in sewer impact fees and other reserves to pay for this project 100% today with cash on hand if we had to.
And remember, that's not the treatment plant part. That's just the spray field part to get the water put somewhere other than into the Blackwater River. But still, this is a great news note. Up to 3 million gallons a day if the projections of what the ground can handle hold, and there's no reason to think it won't. It's always possible that it could come back inadequate or like at a lower level of processing, because depending on the quality of the soil and other things is how much water it can process per day, that 3 million gallons per day or two. The treatment plant is actually producing 2 million gallons a day, so they need to be able to put that somewhere. Again, lots of land. 2 million gallons a day is a lot of land you need in order to put that out there. So Tom Powers asked the question.
This will take care of 100% of the effluent as we stand today.
If the soil conditions and the absorption rates, if everything is fundamentally the same as the 80 acres and the 116 acres, which if you look at it, it should be the same. If the science all comes out the same, that's the numbers we should achieve.
So we got this area of the land that we already know what it's going to handle, and this other land that's similar to that land, if it handles the same amount, then we're good. If we discover something surprising, well, then surprise. But at the moment, as Ed Spears explained, it looks, he's city manager. At the moment, it looks like this is going to be the solution to the problem, half of the problem, which is you know, taking the current effluent that's produced in the treatment plant out of the Blackwater River and putting it somewhere else. And then eventually the other problem is building a whole new wastewater treatment plant, which is also something that has to be done.
So our calculation, if everything is the same, it's 2.7 to 3 million gallons a day.
What are we currently?
We discharge 2 million gallons a day directly into the river.
Okay.
Permitted at 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, I know you're waiting for me to be like, well, here's the funny, sarcastic, horrible part. No, this is just genuinely good news. This is, honest to goodness, 100% a good news story about the city of Milton, even though I led with the music. But, you know, at the end of the meeting, about an hour and a half later, Ed Spears comes back and wants to remind everybody, hey, we did a really good thing tonight.
I'd also like just to conclude by congratulating the mayor and council. You move forward on some major projects tonight. Your number one priority that you established for me in December, the spray field and the wastewater treatment plant, you now own enough property to do what we're obligated to do, and that's a major accomplishment.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's a great news note. So there you go. Now, I will say there was another part of the meeting. You know, a lot of the meeting is boring, right? Okay, so there's the really good news, then there's all the boring stuff, and then there's always something. I mean, I wouldn't have played the music if there wasn't something. I'll just give you a little taste of the something so that you can kind of get your appetite wet for 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock when we'll deal with it more thoroughly. But Howard Steele, who ran for county commission and did not win but has now become the local gadfly in Milton, largely over the public records request case and all of that, he has been sort of the, you know, the last holdout to keep fighting the good fight to try to keep the public records that Heather Lindsay has still to this day never produced. And he sits on a couple of boards, and then some of the city council members like Mike Cusack have tried to come up with a creative way to get rid of him because they don't like how he talks to them. And, you know, Mike Cusack talked about him at the last meeting, and so he showed up at this meeting to complain about how Mike Cusack talked about him in absentia.
Mr. Cusack, you faced an ethics complaint before, and you were found guilty by the state ethics committee.
You faced an ethics complaint before, and you were found guilty.
You will face them again, and you will answer.
You will face them again, and you will answer for ridiculing me in my absence and anybody else who you do that to. They, for whatever reason, they had the mic at the podium wasn't working, so you were picking it up on, like, the council's mic, which is across the room, and so it's not the greatest quality, and I apologize. But we'll come back to that next hour and, you know, share the fun. For now, though, hey, take the win. You don't very often just get to celebrate outright wins in the city of Milton. This is a, you know, unless the soil doesn't test out properly, it looks like an outright win. We'll say it that way. And the drama continues with other parts. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John, good to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
From your week away for all kinds of reasons, and it's always good to have you back. Candy was always fun while you're gone, you know.
Right.
I have to readjust to the fact that, you know, I can safely listen to my producer laugh and it doesn't hurt my eardrum. No, I love Candy so much. She's one of my best friends. She just came in here and hugged me this morning because she's like, I already miss being on the show. So anyway, but good to have you back, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include 2x Tuesday, 6 free shrimp added to the 6-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all you can eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily. Visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list? I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
Some songs, I just, it's the first, like, 2 seconds of that song that I love so much. I mean, the rest of the song is good.
Right.
Calling America by ELO, but just that somebody, I just, you know, they catch you right by your spinal cord. I don't know, make you, gives me tingles.
I enjoy you serenading me. Wow.
I did not sing with that.
Yes, you did.
I guess I did just there, didn't I?
Yeah, okay. You did.
All right, fair enough. You're right. But that's the end of that for now.
Okay.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines.
If
David?
I have the opportunity.
Sir.
He's previewing other audio.
Well, hello there.
How
good
dare
morning.
You work on other material, sir, while I'm talking to you?
I'm sorry.
I know. I know. It happens all the time.
That's my ADD showing through here. Millions of Americans, Andrew, dealing with a... well, every time we get these weather stories with crazy names, it's...
Oh, what do you got now?
Oh, boy. Well,
is it the polar vortex?
No, not this time.
Is it the heat trapeze?
No, but I'm looking forward
to that.
The
heat trapeze is coming. Yeah, the heat tripod.
Well, this one's
almost
as good.
I mean, when they say it's a dome, how do you know it's, like, circular? Well, I mean, could it not be a heat rectangle, a heat pyramid?
So this one is a heat dome, but they're calling this one...
Oh, no.
...the Ring of Fire.
Oh, boy. Johnny Cash's offspring are naming the weather devices now?
It's a Ring of Fire heat dome
tripod machete. It's the heat machete. It's going to slice us all to death. Go on. What do you got?
So they say that this heat ring of fire is is causing issues with big heat indexes all the way from Chicago to New Orleans.
Well, you remember when we were like the, you know, the anti-Hispanic, you know, it's the El Nino effect. I mean, which is a real thing, but, you know, it's just, you know, hey, it's been 3 years. Let's come up with a new exotic name, even if we've used it for a long time. Let's scare people with something they don't know about. Go on.
See, they need the list like we have with hurricane names where we just go through, okay, we're going to call, you know, we've got 23 names.
Don't you dare suggest that they start naming these features because that's just another variation on the same issue. Oh, well, if it's a named heat effect, you know, then it's a Category 3 Ring of Fire heat dome machete tripod.
So the heat machete slices all
I suppose
that
technically I
today.
Said that wrong. It's not the heat dome machete tripod. It's a heat dome tripod machete. This shows that I don't actually have a meteorology degree. So, sorry. Go ahead, David.
All right. Well, moving on. So Columbia University will pay a $200 million fine over allegations from the Trump administration that it discriminated against Jewish students. That move will also restore hundreds of millions of dollars in federal grants for the university. Acting Columbia President Claire Shipman said in a release that it marks an important step forward after a period of sustained federal scrutiny and institutional uncertainty.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, yesterday somebody painted Ozzy Osbourne tribute on the graffiti bridge.
I saw a picture of that. Yeah. That was awesome.
I had a friend, a listener, texted me that early in the day. I put it on social media. It was one of those things where, like, I'm always amazed. Social media is so unpredictable. I got some great post I think is going to do fantastic. And, you know, 4 likes, 1 share. Mm-hmm. I just thought, oh, this is a good picture. I'll post it. I put it up there. And I was playing games with my son, and he was taking his turn, and I looked at my phone, and I'm like, 50 shares. The what?
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I didn't even think to share it to News Radio site because, I don't know, it just seemed like, you know, okay. But then I'm like, well, people like this. I'll share it to that. And, you know, couple minutes go by, 150 shares. The what? 600 shares later. Okay. Channel 3 picked up on it. They were shared like 3,000 times or something. It's crazy.
Wow.
The one thing that I thought would have been, I don't know, but I was telling the person who sent me the photo, hey, thanks for the photo. That performed magnificently on social media. And he said, I just hope that maybe the family, somehow it got to them. I mean, it's the kind of thing where I thought maybe even like some national news, I would just pick it up as an add-in to the end of their half hour. Like, oh, by the way, in Pensacola, Florida, they have this bridge where they do graffiti and this thing tributing. So anyway, but yeah, it's really, really nice. And, you know, all different kinds of things show up there. And you never just know what's going to catch people's attention and what they're going to, you know, share a bunch. And that's very cool. We were talking yesterday, a bunch of military stories yesterday, some having to do with new munition. Well, not new weapons that they're going to try to upgrade or change the M240 longstanding, you know, genuine actual machine gun we've been using for, God, like 50 years now. It's actually the inheritor from the old M60. Anyway, in a different element relating to firearms in the military, the Air Force is now pausing its use of the Sig Sauer P320 variant, the M17, the M18. For those who don't know, like you would have an AR-15, okay? That's, you know what that gun is. It's been in the news a million times. It's the civilian variant, basically, of the M4, which is the rifle that the military uses. So if you hear somebody talking about an M4, they're just talking about a military AR-15. If they're talking about an AR-15, they're talking about a civilian, like the M16. Kind of same thing. I mean, it was different, but it's the same thing, okay? It's a little different look, but it's the same, generally, the basic rifle. You say, why are they different? Don't ask these questions. Okay, but when it comes to, and also it's annoying a little bit because military designations for weapons get reused. You know, there's been a lot of M1s. You know, there's a tank that's an M1 and there's also a rifle that's an M1 and a lot of other things. So, which M1? Exactly. Okay. So, anyway, the M17 and the M18 are the military pistol version of the Sig Sauer P320. One's a little bit smaller than the other, which I think, I wasn't able to verify this. It's more concealable, but you don't need to conceal a gun when you're in the military. I think it's more for females. It's a smaller gun for people with smaller hands. Anyway, somebody died because the gun went off, which has been notoriously a defect of Sig Sauer P320s, and they are pausing their use of that gun in the Air Force right now to investigate and see if it's safe for them to carry.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche could meet today with Ghislaine Maxwell to find out more about convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson has more in a post on X from her lawyer, David Oscar Marcus.
No previous prosecutor from the Southern District of New York or elsewhere has had the courage to meet with Ms. Maxwell and ask her these important questions. So we are grateful to Mr. Blanche and his DOJ that they are approaching this with an open mind. That's how our system is supposed to work.
Meeting expected to take place at the federal pen in Tallahassee. She's serving 20 years. President Trump, the AI commander-in-chief, laying out his action plan.
As president of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it.
A president vowing to slash red tape for U.S. tech companies. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 77 degrees right now in Pensacola. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis discussing the viral arrest video in Jacksonville recently. Now, the governor was speaking yesterday at the same time that the 22-year-old man that was punched by a Jacksonville sheriff's deputy also held a press conference in the same town.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I heard that it was debunked. What I heard was that this was out there, there was a narrative that was done, and then JSO provided the context, and things were a lot different.
And William McNeil's dash cam and police body cam also captured the event. Jacksonville Sheriff T.K. Waters said McNeil wasn't complying with the deputy's commands. That incident remains under investigation. Now, at the governor's press event, First Lady Casey DeSantis joined her husband to announce historic funding to fight pediatric cancer across the state. Of course, Casey DeSantis is a breast cancer survivor. She says $30 million now has been budgeted to focus on pediatric cancer research.
But if I have the opportunity to use a hellish experience that I went through to be able to benefit the people of this state, then I'm just honored to be able to do it.
The governor also said the new budget for the Casey DeSantis research program is now funded to almost $130 million. That'll enhance the quality and effectiveness of cancer care across the state of Florida. A 41-year-old Pensacola woman who owned and operated King's Tax Service is facing 20 counts of aiding or assisting in the preparation of a false tax return. The state attorney's office announcing Christine Harper was indicted Monday in federal court and faces one count of identity theft as well. If convicted, she could face up to 65 years in prison. That case was investigated by the Internal Revenue Service, Criminal Investigation, and the FBI. No other details were released. Statewide power rates could be on the rise. FPL says its proposed base rate increases will keep customers' electric bills below the national average. The utility is seeking approval from the Regulatory Commission for increases of $1.5 billion in 2026 and $497 million in 2027. FPL will also offer higher rates to customers in 2028 and 2029 for solar energy and battery storage projects. ECUA also looking at a possible rate increase for customers.
This is the time of year that we review expenditures and necessary revenue to run the operations for the next fiscal year. Our fiscal year starts on October 1, and we're going through that process right now. And the board last night approved a preliminary rate setting adjustment of a increase to water and wastewater rates at 3%. And similarly to our sanitation rates, also for 3%.
And that is ECUA's Bruce Woody. The 99 cents would mean a total of about a $2.16 per month increase. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We do have an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Friday, 80% chance of rain, high near 90. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Going into Saturday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees and a low near 77. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 77 degrees right now. Our next news at 6, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Staying healthy after 65 just got easier with Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. This means more time with your care team and appointments, more focus on your health needs, plus daily group activities and access to an on-site fitness center. Ochsner Novant Health 65 Plus. Accepting patients at 9 Mile Road with a new location on Mobile Highway now open. Visit Ochsner.org/65plus-Pensacola.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:38 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We still have sort of this blobby thing that they say might develop sort of to our west, I guess, now. It's not really likely to affect us except with maybe some rain. But I'm looking at the map and I see nothing. There's just no evidence. It's kind of like the last time we had this. There's nothing to see on the map. So maybe so, but telling you what I'm seeing is to not worry in any way. Yesterday, had a good chance to talk with Mayor D.C. Reeves, as we typically do on a Wednesday. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Let's start with recycling. I've just shared with the audience all of your comments yesterday about taking responsibility for it, saying, you know, you guys did some but could have done better. Big projects have mistakes. By the way, I thought the getting to 25% in basically a week from having been at 1,400 to 5,300, that's a pretty good accomplishment. So kudos for that in terms of participation rates. The one comment you made yesterday that I think I disagree with, and I wanted to talk with you for just a second, is you mentioned that you might do a credit, like a basically a financial compensation for your pain related to this. And I didn't really understand that. I get it where you're a businessman, you know, and when you're running a business and something goes wrong, you help people out by giving them money back, right? It's a good impulse. But as the mayor, aren't you basically giving the customer back their own money in order to compensate them for their pain and stuff? It doesn't quite fit for me.
Well, appreciate the question, and I think whether you own a private business or the city government, yeah, in essence. But the reality is, if you divide up how many pickups you get by how much you pay per month, and that pickup didn't happen, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a fair discussion to just say, hey, yeah, sure, some relief of, you know, on someone's bill when we didn't had the proper service and that we wanted to have some type of service recovery. I get your point about, hey, well, the dollars flow in and out,
right,
you know, government wise. But I also think, one, it's a little different because this is an enterprise. It is run differently.
Okay.
This is not like Parks and Rec, you know, I mean, the, you know, the same way the airports run differently, you know, and Pensacola Energy's run. I'd love to make the same case of Pensacola Energy after the lawsuit over 10 years, you know? So I hear you, but I just feel like, you know, if nothing else, I think because even that bill credit is not going to be a lot of money to someone, you know, to most people, it might be to some. But the reality is, I think it's more symbolic of saying, hey, we understand that this could have been, you know, handled better.
Okay.
That being said, I had the biggest epiphany that I think I've ever had in a town hall. Not I didn't have it. I guess maybe I learned something. And this is, I think it kind of,
this is last night,
sense of like,
you and Jen Brer. Still,
last night. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. I know we're going in the right direction. In this case is that we were trying to fix a broken system. And I was given the two choices of doing what we're doing now and stopping and restarting recycling so it actually works, or I could have knowingly prolonged a completely ineffective recycling. And when my rate was going to triple to drop it off at the MRF, that was going to be passed on. So we were going to end up in the exact same place we were in financially per month, except I would have been sleeping at night knowing it's not working, but just not wanting to ruffle any feathers or get to where we're getting now. So through that pain and through that anxiety and the anxiety of two changes and all that stuff, I still know we're going the right direction. And here's why. We found out there was a lot of frustration, especially in the Scenic Heights area, about going down to one garbage pickup per week.
Right,
and
right.
It was really baffling to me because I'm like, well, I mean, we only were picking up garbage twice for 18 months. I mean, you hear these people and you're like, man, it's like you were taking away something. And I kept saying, well, you know, respectfully, for generations before that, we were just getting it picked up once a week. What, you know, what's the issue? Well, to come to find out in 2016, for years, up until I think at some point Mayor Robinson's tenure, they were picking up this one neighborhood twice a week and recycling, but they were just taking the garbage and putting it in the recycling. So in other words, there was extra service being provided to a neighborhood that no one knew anything about. No one, like none of my staff. None. And so it's like, aha, now I see why everybody's frustrated. They were getting provided service years ago that didn't even exist. And so anyway, it's just a good microcosm of this, the all the change. And again, certainly we want to be accountable to our residents and the 21,000 customers. And we're trying to make that right. And we certainly are well on our way. We're on track. We're back on stat. We continue to hammer the communication about what your trash day is. So you heard me yesterday, and I appreciate you playing that. You know, we've got to own to have a good standard of how we message things. But I feel that we're back on the right track and we're really getting our department turned around.
And that was actually, you know, you know, I always like to predict, you know, what's this person likely to say? And I thought, well, I bet DC comes on and says, we did some things right, we did other things we really could have done a lot better, and I'll take responsibility. And that's exactly what you said yesterday. So I feel like I know you a little bit, and that's what I expected out of you. So the one thing you announced yesterday that came is, I'm like, oh my God, look at this. The medical facility on Palafox, that old, ugly, dilapidated building that ECUA bought and had done it so they could have that containment facility for the overflow if the lift station fails, and it's just been an eyesore every time you drive past it. It's not the welcoming, hey, welcome to cool Pensacola. We've done all this stuff. But you're going to buy it and demolish it, I assume?
Yeah, we assume the same. We definitely are excited for that. I feel it's, as I said in my press conference, the symbol of commercial blight, I think, within the city limits. You know,
yeah.
This hospital has been sitting there forever. It's been sitting there since I moved back home from college, although I don't think it was even being used. And yeah, we're paying about $1.2 million. Good news is it's all 100% grant funded through the Hollis T. Williams grant. So this is not coming out of, you know, I just told our town hall folks last night, if there's one misperception that I deal with on a daily basis, it's the how things are funded. So like anytime there's ever an announcement about any Palafox Street about buying a building, there's so much confusion, understandably, honestly, like how is the citizen going to be able to follow all this? But
right.
My advice to them was, don't make an assumption because you see the city or the county or anyone spending X million dollars that means that could easily be transferred to whatever your priority is. That is not the case, and it usually isn't 99% of the time, and this is another one of those examples. This is fully grant-funded. This is not coming out of any general fund, not coming out of local office sales tax. So number one, we're excited about that. Number two is that we paid the price per acre of vacant property, ultimately, is and there has to be an appraisal, and this is Florida Commerce type grant money, so all of those controls are in place, and so we are super, super excited to be able to get this symbol of commercial blight that has been sitting there for years, dilapidated. We get calls because somebody's on the roof. We know it's a major eyesore for really two neighborhoods. You know, you got the East Side neighborhood to the east, and you've got North Hill to the west, and
yeah.
So to be able to finally, after years, I mean, these are two out-of-state owners that aren't the easiest to get a hold of. I mean, I've been doing this negotiation personally for months alongside our team, and just even be able to get people on the phone has not been easy. And so we are excited for that, and people are pointing out, well, hey, you know, they bought it from ECUA for $75,000, which from a government standpoint certainly is frustrating, and I was not there. I don't know if it was offered to the city or something like that at that time, but we are where our feet are. You know, so my choice is not buy it or buy it for what the assessed property value is. So there's lots of folks saying, well, why would the city buy it for $1.2 million when it was only $75,000? Well, pretty simple. The same reason you wouldn't sell me your house for what you paid for in 2016,
right.
Or that if your grandmother gave it to you and she paid $30,000, you're not going to sell it for $30,000. Anybody that's ever dealt in real estate whatsoever understands that. So I'm not going to get lost on what someone paid for something 10 years ago.
Well, even at that, I mean, ECUA, I guess, the P&J article I was reading yesterday, the ECUA had bought it $600,000 earlier that year. So really, it's ECUA that sold it at 90% of a loss. And now, you know, I mean, if it had been $600,000 then and $1.2 now, I mean, that's barely market improvement. So it's
exactly.
Really the choice by ECUA to offload it so cheap, I think, is what creates this, you know, seeming profiteering for them. So it doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
If it's a good deal, it's a good deal, no matter what somebody's making off of it. So, but this is going to be
exactly.
part
yeah,
of the stormwater project. This is like the north end of the stormwater project, right?
Exactly. So it's 2 acres, and it's a big part of we knew that, you know, getting this piece, and again, there's still some what ifs. There's environmental things that happen. We expect it to be – there's some environmental issues. There's still some communication that's got to happen between. So that's why I said yesterday, cautiously optimistic. We
yeah.
certainly have an agreement in principle. We know that. But there's some other hurdles to deal with. But
can I pause
yeah,
you? Can I pause you on
I
that? Because you make me think of something
yeah.
that I know for the longest time, the Baptist Project was hung up over the concerns about discovering that there would be massive remediation costs and the unknown around that.
Yes.
This is also a medical facility. Is not the same level of uncertainty present?
Yeah, probably so. Well, actually, I guess Is there uncertainty present? Yes, there's absolutely uncertainty present. Now, what we're saying is we expect that there's going to be. It would be unfair and irresponsible to say, oh, we assume there's no issue here, given the date of the construction, right? I mean, so we expect there to be some. We obviously have some due diligence period to be able to get in there, and then we can assess what we want to do from there. But you know, as Tom Murphy from the old mayor of Pittsburgh, very successful in helping turn around Pittsburgh, always said, you know, you control the dirt, you control the future. You can and so, you know, the city being able to get in there, and now we're not beholden to decisions of people from New York that own it, but in fact that the city, regardless. So if it stays up a couple more years or we go find funding for it, it's like the Gibson School, same thing. You know, hey, if we control the future of Gibson, we know that it won't fall into the wrong hands or into the wrong decision. So I think that's really job number one right now.
So many things going on. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. I did want to take a second to at least do a little bit of credit. The LinkedIn's top 25 cities on the rise, Pensacola, pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think even more exciting for us is the fact that it's not just top 25 because it's a nice city. It's top 25 of basically wanting to attract talent here. And since I've started, I've said, hey, you know, the best asset we can have is for our young people to want to stay here and want to move here. And so I take extra pride in the fact that the measurable was, where are we seeing job creation and where people want to go? And so you're the only city in Florida that's in that. And then the top 25 is awesome.
Well, and chicken and egg is not quite the right thing I'm looking for here. But if you make a city appealing to attract talent, talent will then demand that the city continue to do great things, which will make it a better city, which will then attract talent. Like, it's a feed cycle, sure. Right? So the kind of citizens that you want here are the kind that we're attracting, which is why it's kind of it's a neat metric to achieve on. Project that came up in city council, it's a little thing, but I think sometimes little things make a big difference. Improving the entrance on the north end, not the north end really, but when you're coming down I-110, you get off on Garden, there's all that kind of...
Yep.
Ugliness. And now we're going to be putting up a larger fence, more foliage, trying to clean up that intersection of Garden, South 110, Alkenes, that area, right?
Yeah, and this was solely, and CRA is going to get it executed, and Erica and Victoria are doing a good job getting that pushed through. But it really comes down to this. If you want to hearken the best comparison of me being a business owner before, is what does the customer see?
Mm-hmm.
What does our visitor see? What does our resident see? And the fact is, most people that are going to be coming in from out of town that come in downtown are getting off on that ramp. And what message have we been sending for years? You know, of the neglect and how it looks on the right, and that, you know, broken fence and dead plants. And, you know, and I joked at the IHMC opening when the new building, I said, well, thanks for at least, you know, helping us improve this landscape some.
Right.
So, because you can see it when you come right off the ramp. But, you know, FDOT did the garden medians in the last couple of years that look way better than they did before. And so it's nothing complex. It's as simple as that. Is I want you as a resident or as a visitor, or when your family comes into town, to get off in downtown and say, hey, this feels nice. And there's really no other science to it other than that. And that's just kind of back to my business days of saying, what does the customer see? What's that first impression when they come into the city?
Paint and landscaping is better than blight and chain link fences and broken down things. And understanding that is a big part of how you transform the appeal of a city. Quick questions, lightning round. We always like to end with the quick questions for the mayor. How do you answer the phone? Do you say hello? And do you speak first when you're answering the phone?
Do I know the person?
Let's say no.
I just say, I'm like, hey, what's going on?
Okay.
I don't say hello. Like, I don't pretend like I don't know who it is. I always
say it's not formal. Okay, very good. With the
this
passing.
I'm not going to say, like, this is DC, you know, when I know it's Andrew calling.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, buddy. With the passing of Ozzy, I have to ask you this question. I have no idea what the answer is. What's the hardest rock album DC Reeves owns?
Man, you know, I wasn't as hardcore as Andrew McKay. You know, you know, 97, you know, WABD, you know, and of course once Cat Country came out, then I changed over to that full time. I was never a metal guy. I mean, it would have to be like Pearl Jam or something, which doesn't even count.
All right. Well, it's sort of, it's not exactly in that vein. It's driven by other events, but I do have a question. It's a little bit personal. Have you ever been to a Coldplay concert? Or been on the Kiss Cam?
I have not. I don't. Why does that feel incriminating to ask me that now? No, sir. I absolutely have not ever been.
Very good. Mayor D.C. Rees, we'll look forward to talking to you again next week. Thanks for all you're doing. Thanks for the time on Wednesday. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Amy and Candace.
But yeah, you got to vet these candidates. You know, you got to make sure, right? I mean, you know, this is the question that we all want to know is who has not? Are you now or have you ever been to a Coldplay concert? You know, that's a good question for everybody. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good morning, guys. I just want to warn you, traffic is tough out there.
We are here for you to tell you how to keep safe.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can.
To provide the music, talk, and sports you love. And to deliver the news that matters to you. We are the voices you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
What is strong in this one?
Y'all ready for this? All right, so if you're in the car and your mom is dancing, I'm just telling you right now, and I'm not trying to spill any secrets, but she went clubbing in the day. 5:55 on News Radio 92.3. She's been to a frat party. She never told you about it. David Wayne is... I mean, it's July. What kids are in the car, right? Nobody's in the car. But still, I'm just... If you're listening, maybe it's later, right? You're listening, and she's listening to the podcast or something. And, you know, if mom is moving and grooving to this song, ask her why. You know, ask her why. David, John Wright? Right?
You were so right. Here I was moving and grooving, and I was like,
way
oh,
to
boy.
Out people.
Yeah, well, I mean,
know.
You know, hot club chicks grow up to be mothers.
Look, moms have secrets.
And
okay?
Mothers at one point were hot club chicks. You know, that's how that works. How do you think they got to be mothers? David Bates is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Brian Koberger was sentenced to life without parole for the 2022 murders of 4 Idaho college students. He pleaded guilty in a deal to avoid the death penalty and did not explain his motive yesterday in court. President Trump is visiting the Federal Reserve today, stepping up pressure on Chair Jerome Powell over interest rates. He's criticized Powell for not cutting the rates. Powell says the economy is still uncertain due to Trump's tariff policies. And Uber rolling out a new feature in the U.S. that pairs female drivers and female riders. The rideshare company will begin testing this feature in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Detroit next month.
Why they got to discriminate against women? What? A woman can't be a mass murderer too?
Ah, well.
I mean, you trying to tell people what women can and can't do? You know, you're trying to tell
yeah,
them
that's
they,
a solid point.
That they can't be harassers also? I mean, why you got to limit the potential of women like that?
I've watched enough forensic files to know what they're capable of, that's for sure.
What an insult to women everywhere, telling them all the things that you can't be a criminal, you can't be a serial harasser, you can't be a threat to someone. No, it's actually, I mean, it makes sense. David, thanks so much for the update. My wife is this way. She doesn't like to go to a male doctor. You know, she's like, a woman is a woman. A woman is, you know, not weird and safe and, you know, not creepy, you know. And, I mean, it's funny because, you know, this is the kind of thing that doctors like, oh, my God, that's just not what we do. Yeah, but, you know, people feel how they feel around members of the opposite sex because members of the opposite sex are members of the opposite sex. And, you know, I don't like to go to a female doctor.
What?
I mean,
I'm like, what? I thought this was going to be like a boys' club, but.
No, I, you know, like, because.
Do you have
only my wife gets to see me that way. You know what I mean?
You have issues we need to talk about.
No, that's normal.
Oh.
When you're going into the locker room, is it, right? You know? Well, Andrew, you don't understand. It's professional. When you see so many, no, you're missing the point. It's,
don't judge me.
I mean, it's not quite the same, but it's in the similar kind of, you know, some women feel like, hey, men are a risk, and I'd rather have a female driver. I'd rather have a female doctor. I'd rather have a female, you know, if there's a closed office conversation, it should be with a female superior rather than, you know, a male superior because of all the stuff. Of course, these days, you know, sexual ethics being what they are, I mean, you know, who are you to say that, you know, gay people can't also be dangerous? You know, like that's where we are. Nothing is safe anymore. That's actually historically one of the less discussed aspects of having a sexually so-called liberated society is, you know, it used to be that certain people were safer because they were your same gender, you know, and now, nobody's safe because everything's possible. You know, anybody could be a threat, which is part of the liberated mindset, right? Anybody could be coming on to you for whatever reason.